36. Tunnels? The younger Langdon whispers when I explain what's happening. They're conduits running under the ground, stretching to various parts of the collider, and the power station on the far side of town, but tunnels? No, they must be future additions. I look over my shoulder to confirm that future Kesneski is waiting by the door. Inside man or not, the people kept in this small prison don't like him, and he isn't keen to stand among them. Gives me a chance to have one last private conversation, assuming the microphones hidden around us aren't sensitive enough to pick up our hushed words. "Where's the power station?" I ask. It feels like a ridiculous question. As Synergy's head of security, I should have been made aware of such things, but even present-day Langdon kept some secrets. "Far side of town to the south, Oak Tree Lane. It's fed by the solar array, but it was never designed to handle the load this facility must require, nor the particle collider's continuous function." It's easy to read between the lines. Whatever was there before has likely been upgraded. "And to shut it down?" He shrugs. "I'd assume there's a main breaker, but there should be people monitoring the power station. They'll know how to shut it down. And will probably be heavily armed." "You're sure about this?" Flores asks, looking over my shoulder toward my father and my younger self. His concern is touching in that it is neither for himself nor me, but for my family. When I explained about the tunnels connecting the facility to various parts of the mountain, the collider, the town, and the power station, the response was mild surprise. When I told them we were going after Enola and might have to face the actual Tsul Kalu, I saw a mixture of trepidation and disbelief. And when I said that both my father and Owen would be accompanying us, utter shock was the response. "Aren't they safer here?" Cassie asks. "Common sense says yes. They're protected by buildings designed to withstand the rigors of time travel and the various environments encountered along the way, and to repel a paramilitary force led by my now-dead older self. Beyond these walls is an unforgiving, ever-changing ancient world full of threats known and unknown, but in here they're bargaining chips. Future Langdon knows that. With them here, my hands will be tied. I'm sure he wouldn't approve of them leaving, but he told Future Kesneski to get me what I wanted and never explicitly said to hold them. If Kesneski is the man he claims to be, or wants me to believe he is, he's not going to defy me."
"Okay, so quick recap," my Kesneski says. "Step one, take the tunnels out. Two, rescue this Enola chick from some big dead god dude named Tuna Casserole or some shit. Three, instead of coming back where things are safe and warm, we push on to the power station and flip the switch.
Then we come back," Flores says, "and put an end to this for good." We all know that he intends to kill Future Langdon. I'm not sure I'm on board with that. Execution removes any chance at redemption, and if there is any chance of undoing this mess, it will happen only with his cooperation. While the younger Langdon doesn't believe it's possible, I haven't lost all hope of returning to the present. But now is not the time to have that discussion.
"You don't have to come," I tell them.
Younger Langdon raises his hand.
I'm not.
Not only is the scientist not built for the challenges ahead, I suspect he'd never leave without taking his wife. And right now, she's even further away from him than the future is from us. Since there's no question about Cassie's and Flores's choices, all three of us turn to my Kesneski.
"Like I'm the only one who might be a chicken shit, is that it?"
His offense is partly genuine, but mostly good-humored. He knows as well as we do that the allegiance of his future self is questionable at best. Speaking of which, I turn to Flores. "The other Kesneski claims to be my inside man, that he was planted here in the future. Any truth to that?" He looks unimpressed. "If he did, he kept it a secret from me, but you were a bit paranoid. Played your cards close to the vest. Only Cassie had your full trust."
"And I'm not her," Cassie says.
"We can't trust that motherfucker,"
the younger Kesneski says, and his opinion tips the scales. No matter what he says or how he acts, future Kesneski is still the enemy.
"Until we're away," I say to Flores, "you need to keep playing the part." I motion to his old clothes.
"Well, I reckon that won't be too tricky, y'all."
Cassie and I share a wide-eyed glance.
Flores's southern accent is one of the worst I've heard.
Are you supposed to be Australian? Kuznetsky asks.
Just don't talk. I stand and head for the door. We're leaving in 1 minute. I haven't told my father all this yet. He's still in the main room, seated with the Cherokee people he and Owen have befriended. But I don't think it will take long to get him on board. Upon hearing the plan, my father pauses for a moment, looking down at Owen. I know how seriously he takes the job of being a father, how it would crush him if anything ever happened to his son. I've been on the other side of that situation. I think if anyone else had approached him with such a dangerous plan, he'd have shot them down. But I am his son too, and if anyone cares about Owen as much as my father, it's me.
If I thought it would be safer here.
We're coming, Owen says to me and then to our father. We're going, and Nola needs us. Black Creek needs us. We can't just sit here and do nothing.
My father huffs a smile. Like son,
and father, I say, knowing he's warming up to the idea.
What'd you see out there? He asks.
Nothing good, I say, and I catch Cassie's eye as she steps out of the bedroom. I tilt my head toward Owen, and she understands. Owen.
She motions him over and crouches down to speak with him.
Afforded a moment's privacy with my father, I come clean, in part to help him understand, but also because he might be the only person that can help me process what I've experienced.
What is it? My father asks.
I found me, I say. Another me, older than you. He was leading an attack on Synergy to stop all this, but he failed. He'd been tortured, cut open. God knows what else. Tears form in my father's eyes. Despite the age of my future self, he was still my father's son.
And you agreed to work with these people?
His, my dying wish was for me to stop all this and protect my family. I can't do that if you're here. I can't.
Your dying wish?
He killed himself. My father sags a bit, shaking his head.
I'm not sure he would have survived if he hadn't, but he died on his terms,
my father says, collecting himself. He did.
And so will we.
He puts a strong hand on my shoulder.
Now let's go, and this time there isn't a single Hatfield to slow the McCoy boys down.
I smile and say, just a nut job with the drone army and an ancient Cherokee, giant god thing who enjoys hunting people for sport.
You ass clowns ready to roll?
Future Kuznetsky asks from the entrance. He's dressed in winter gear and armed with a AA-12 assault shotgun. It's a beast of a weapon with so little recoil it can be fired one-handed, if you're strong enough to hold it, and the drum magazine contains 32 cartridges.
Someone's got their panties in a twist,
the younger Kuznetsky replies, heading for the door.
Shit, you're grumpy.
Fuck you, future Kuznetsky says.
Fuck you,
the younger replies.
Let's go.
I lead our ragtag group toward the door.
Whoa, whoa,
future Kuznetsky says when he sees Owen among us.
You want to take your kid out there?
I'm not sure if he's concerned or trying to keep Owen here without being blunt about it. Neither makes a difference. He's coming. When I move past him with Owen in tow, he says nothing else. I'm happy to find warm clothing and weapons have been provided, but they're not for everyone. Future Kuznetsky hands out 3 pistols. One to me, one to Cassie, and one to the younger Kuznetsky. The handguns lack the decimating stopping power of his shotgun, but I'm comfortable with the P220 and it packs a punch. Giant or not, a few 10mm rounds will take care of our demigod problem.
Don't I get a gun?
Flores asks, his accent still hideous, but who knows, maybe that's how hillbillies talked in the past.
Why is the country bumpkin coming with us again?
Future Kuznetsky asks. He knows the mountain, I say.
Better than you?
The older Kuznetsky doesn't sound convinced.
Nobody knows this mountain better than a bootlegger, my father says. Living here, hunting here.
He nudges me.
Even working here ain't nothing compared to running, hiding, and fighting with the law. I reckon he knows these hills better than the lot of us combined.
Flores just nods in agreement, and future Kuznetsky rolls his eyes. We're led outside into what looks like an open manhole cover. 2 guards stand on either side of the hole, shifting back and forth, trying to look tough despite the cold.
Everyone in,
future Kuznetsky says. I go down first without questioning him. The tunnel is dimly lit by recessed yellow bulbs. Thick cables run along both sidewalls. The floor is flat and textured, providing traction for the small vehicles parked nearby. Younger Kuzneski drops down from the ladder behind me, takes one look at the vehicles, and says, "You're kidding me. They got freaking mini tanks and flying drones, and we're taking golf carts?" Owen arrives next. "Cool!" He claims a front seat, and I sit beside him, behind the steering wheel of the second vehicle. My father and Cassie join us, while both Kuzneskis and Flores take the lead cart. "Try to keep up," future Kuzneski says, and then he guns the electric vehicle. The tunnel leads down a gentle slope which becomes steadily steeper, following the mountain's grade. Branching tunnels cut off to the sides, some leading straight out, some angled down, some reversing back uphill. It's like an army of mole men have been busy creating an underground minotaur maze. Future Kuzneski seems to know the tunnels well enough, taking several turns without missing a beat. He's either faking it or he knows exactly where he's going. After just 10 minutes, we screech to a halt beside a ladder leading up to a closed hatch. Without waiting for permission, I start up the ladder, unlock the hatch, and shove. There's a moment of resistance before I get my whole body under it and heave. A thin seal of ice cracks and snow tumbles in and across my face. I lift the heavy metal disc and more than a foot of snow up and away. Pushing snow aside, I climb out of the hole, draw my weapon, and scan the mountainside. Several sets of footprints descending the mountain from above are just 10 feet away. Mixed among them is a trail of massive bare footprints. I follow the trail downhill and nearly stagger back into the hole, numbed by what I've discovered. Had Flores not braced me with his hands, I would have. "Watch where you—" His rebuke catches in his throat. He's seen it too.
"Oh, God!"